Father God, thank you that these ancient words can breathe your life and vision and hope into us. And we pray that you would come by the power of your Spirit. And you would help us to see honestly what it is that stops us from pressing forward, what it is that tempts us to look behind rather than to press on towards the goal to which you've called us. Would you challenge us where we need challenging? Would you encourage us where we need encouraging? For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, if you had to draw or sculpt or sort of act out a pose which represented the Christian life, I wonder what you would go for. Let's have this on the screen, thank you. Some people might go for some sort of sunbathing pose. After all, the Christian knows that God has done everything for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He saved us through the work of Jesus on the cross. There's nothing that we have to do. We can just sit and relax and enjoy what God has done for us, confident in the knowledge that we've been adopted into God's family. Maybe that would be the pose to represent the Christian life. Maybe some people would say a kneeling pose to signify humility towards Jesus as our Lord, a prayerfulness as we go through life, wanting to listen to him and obey him. This passage suggests another pose, one which maybe wouldn't be first to cross our minds, a running pose. And at various points, the Apostle Paul refers to the Christian life as a race. I wonder where you would put yourself in that race at the moment. Maybe some are sort of jogging along halfway. Maybe some feel like you're coming towards the finish line. Maybe some feel you've just fallen over, you need to be picked up. Maybe some are so hot, especially in this weather, you've just stopped at the drink station, you need to take on board some water and be refreshed. Maybe some are just coming up to the start line. Maybe some don't feel you're actually in the race yet, you're just sort of in the crowds watching others running the Christian race. Maybe some of you have been running for miles and miles and you've hit a pain barrier. And you're thinking, is it worth carrying on to the finish? Or shall I just give up and settle for an easy life now? There's all sorts of places where we'll be in the race at the moment. And Paul, as Catherine said, he's been speaking about his desire to know Jesus more and more. And then he says in verse 12, not that I've already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. So Paul is very clear that he hasn't yet arrived in the Christian life. If you ever look around other Christians and think, oh, they're so much better at being a Christian than I am. They've got it sorted in the Christian life. Let me reassure you, they haven't. None of us have arrived in the Christian life. None of us are sorted when it comes to our faith. We haven't reached the goal yet. And so our pose is pressing on towards the goal. And it's not just a sort of gentle jog pose. Paul says he actually strains towards what is ahead. And it's the same word that he used a few verses earlier to describe how avidly he used to persecute the church before he himself became a Christian. And so with every ounce he sought to stamp out the church, and now with every ounce he seeks to follow Christ and to know him more. Now, I suspect that none of us, if we're honest, would say we expend that much energy in our effort to know Christ more. And what I want to do today is just help us think briefly about what stops us pressing forwards and then what can help us press forward. I'm going to throw out quite a few things and just sort of, you know, maybe one or two of these things will resonate with you. Those are the things to hold on to. So here's some of the things which stop us pressing forwards. Pride. Pride in thinking that we've made fairly good progress already in the Christian life and so we can step off the gas a bit. We can just coast along. Pride about our Christian CV, you know, maybe the length of time we've been a Christian or the responsibilities we've had at church or in other Christian organizations. You know, Paul himself had paraded his spiritual CV just a few verses earlier. It was impeccable. No one could beat it. But then he said, I consider it all rubbish. It's rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And he knew that if we look back to our past achievements, it's going to distract us from pressing forwards. And so he says, I'm forgetting what lies behind. The spiritual CV is irrelevant now. For other people, it's a shame which stops us pressing forward. We're so ashamed of our past rather than proud of our past. And maybe there are particular mistakes in the past that we've made that haunt us day and night, things that keep us awake at night as we're trying to get to sleep. There are addictions maybe that we can't break. There is guilt for past sins which weigh on us like a ton of bricks. Shame can stop us pressing forward in the Christian life. And of course, Paul had more reason than most to feel that shame. He had blood on his hands. And he'd been involved in the imprisonment and torture and killing of Christians. But he didn't let his past define him. He looked to the cross to find forgiveness. And when the devil dredges up your past sin or past failures and guilt and places it in all its sort of bleakness and blackness before you again, can I encourage you to look to the cross? Look to the cross, because there we find the forgiveness, the confidence that the past has been dealt with. Jesus died to take our guilt and shame away. For other people, shame can be a little bit different. It's a shame built from the negative words of other people, whether it be parents or spouse or so-called friends or boss and colleagues. People who've said in one way or another that you're useless. And when that's drummed into us from an early age, or repeated for years and years in what amounts to domestic abuse, we begin to believe it about ourselves. It defines us, it stops us moving forwards. And please, when the devil and your instincts tell you to look behind you and see how worthless you are, would you look to the cross and see how precious you are? Don't let shame hold you back. Especially don't let lies from others hold you back. Let the truth from Jesus free you. For other people, I think it's significant events from the past that stops them straining forwards. If they're positive events, then we yearn for the good old days. At a time in our Christian life, maybe when the Christian life seemed more exciting or more joyful or more straightforward, or a time when the church was run in the way that we think the church still should be run. Yeah, I think there are a few people in our congregations who still long for a past era of church. And it stops them moving forward. They're sort of stuck spiritually many years ago. And I don't want us to rubbish the past or discount the past. Of course not. We need to give thanks for what God has done in the past. But I know that sort of looking to the past leaves us stuck and stops us moving forwards into the future. Paul says, forget what's behind, strain towards what's in front. And for other people, the significant events in the past that stops them pressing forward are negative events. A tragedy of some sort, a bereavement, or an injury, or a relationship breakdown, or an injustice, or a trauma. And one of the key factors that can be at work then is unforgiveness. The tragedy has been so great that the person cannot bring themselves to forgive the person who's hurt them, or cannot bring themselves to forgive themselves, or cannot bring themselves to forgive God, who has somehow let this event happen in their lives. And because they can't forgive, they can't move on spiritually. Their faith in God might still be intact, but it's dented, and it's as though it's on pause. I completely get that. You know, when tragedy strikes, faith isn't easy at all. But some people in their shock, they sort of lean away from God. They don't bring the trauma to God and process it with him. And that's when they get stuck. Other people, when tragedy strikes, they lean into God. And in all their pain, they take that to God. Think of Job in the Bible, or some of the psalm writers who take their pain to the Lord. They're honest with him. I remember being struck by two different families and how they responded to terrible terrorist attacks. And one family said, I'll never be able to forgive them for what they've done. And I know that family will be stuck. That one event will define their whole life. And another family said, what they've done is evil, but we choose to forgive them. And that is the family who will slowly be able to move forwards. And so if you think that significant events in the past, whether positive ones or negative ones, might be stopping you from moving forward, can I urge you to turn to the Lord for help to process those events? Start by asking the prayer ministry team here later on if you want to pray with you. It won't be an instant fix, probably. You might need counselling and lots of talking it through. But don't keep the issue buried. Begin to offer it gently to the Lord, however nervous you are about that. Because he is the Lord who can bring healing and freedom from the past. I think of Joni Ekerson-Tada, paralysed in a diving accident as a teenager. It shaped her life, of course it has. But it hasn't defined her life. And so she's had a powerful ministry over the decades since, pointing others towards God. Don't let the past define you, however much it does shape you. And for other people, it's not past things that stop them moving forward, it's things in the present. So for some people, I think it's wishful thinking that can stop us pressing forward. So we think, you know, if only I were free to move elsewhere, if only I had a job, if only I had a different job, if only I were more clever, if only I didn't have the same neighbours, if only my kids were like their kids, if only my boss were more understanding, if only I married that person, if only I hadn't married that person. Do you see what I mean? It's as though we press pause on the Christian life, waiting for a better set of circumstances. But the truth is, God has put us in this situation for a reason. In this location, with this set of people, in this particular body. And when we accept that and dare to believe that we're more likely to encounter God in the here and now than we would be to encounter God in the situation we wish we were in, it's when we allow God to work in us here and now that we can begin to move forward. Paul says, strain forwards from where you are, not from some place you'd rather be. And then for some people, it's sin which stops us from moving forwards. In this passage, Paul describes some Christians who actually live as enemies of the cross of Christ. It's very strong language. Verse 19, he says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. They're living for the moment. Their goal is comfort or pleasure or reputation or success. And they don't mind a little bit of sin here and there, especially if it helps them get what they want. In fact, they boast about it. They say, look, I'm forgiven by Jesus, so it doesn't matter if I bend the rules in one or two places. But Paul says to belittle sin like that is to live as an enemy of the cross and to be headed for destruction. Another pastor in the New Testament urges us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I wonder what's stopping you from moving forwards, pressing on towards the goal. Maybe there are other things that you would add to this list. But let's be real about them. Let's be honest. Let's deal with them so that we can adopt that straining forwards pose. At the 2011 World Athletics Championships, Usain Bolt was disqualified from his first event, the 100 metres final. Everyone, of course, expected him to win, but he was disqualified for a false start. And afterwards he said, I was brought up in church not to dwell on the past, but to move on. And so 6 days later he won the 200 metres final and then the 4x100 relay in a world record time. Forget what is behind. Press on towards the goal. And so if those are some of the things that stop us pressing forwards, just more quickly, what helps us press forwards? And first thing, choose carefully who you copy. Paul writes in verse 17 here, join together in following my example, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. In fact, throughout this letter, Paul has been at pains to encourage the Philippian Christians to copy good examples. Jesus, who gave up himself as a sacrifice. Paul himself, who endured prison. Timothy, Epaphroditus, the list goes on. And if we copy Christians who are just standing still in the Christian life, then they're not going to encourage us to move forwards, are they? But if we deliberately choose to copy Christians who are pressing forwards, that's going to inspire us to press forwards as well. And if you are one of those Christians who are pressing forward at the moment, who can you encourage to copy you? Who can you mentor? Who can you disciple to make sure that they're able to keep pressing forwards through whatever life throws at them? So much in life is caught, not taught, isn't it? Yes, teaching can help with professional skills and management skills and marriage and parenting and so on. But most of what we learn is by watching other people. It's caught, not taught. And it's exactly the same in the Christian faith. Yes, teaching can help a little bit. But there's so much emphasis in the New Testament, not just on learning from the scriptures, but on copying others, following good models of the Christian life. So choose carefully who to copy. And if you'd like to mentor someone or be mentored in the Christian life, then come and chat with me afterwards. Second, remember who you are. And having mentioned those who would be a bad example in verses 18 and 19, he then reminds the Philippian Christians in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And Philippi was a Roman colony. It was surrounded by Greek or barbarian areas. It was important to the Philippians to know that they were Roman citizens. It marked them out as different. They had a different Lord, a different way of life. They were different to those around them. And here Paul says, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have an even higher Lord. You're not citizens of Rome, you're citizens of heaven. So forget whether we carry a British passport or an EU passport or whatever. We're citizens of heaven, filled with God's Spirit. That helps us press forwards. We're God's people. And of course we want to press forward to know him better. And then finally, remember where you're heading. Paul wrote in verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There's a prize in store for us. In verse 20, he talks about eagerly awaiting Jesus' return. Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be like his glorious body. So we've got transformation in store for us. All those aches and pains, all those ailments and illnesses, all those imperfections and character flaws, gone. And if that's our destination, of course we want to press on towards that goal to become more like that. And we should be stretching ourselves all the time because we want to put in a good performance for the one who will greet us at the finish line. The prize, it's better than a world record, better than Olympic gold, better than the World Cup, better even than Steve Redgrave's cabinet full of Olympic golds. The prize is to be in God's presence and to know him even as we are fully known. That's what keeps Paul going through the Christian life, the struggles of the Christian race. The thought of meeting Jesus himself in all his glory and splendor and love and beauty and power and grace and majesty. What a day to look forward to, remaining with him for all eternity. And so that was what inspired Paul a few years later when he was on death row. He said, I have run the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who've longed for his appearing. So let's forget what's behind. Strain towards what is ahead. With Jesus, it's always true that the best is yet to come. Let's pray together. And in the quietness, as I say, I've thrown out a lot of stuff this morning. Maybe there's just one or two things that rang true with you. Just begin to chat to the Lord in your own words about those. Father God, forgive us when we get caught up in the past or stuck in the past. Or for when we wish that we were in a different place to where we are now. Lord, we trust that you can work in our lives here and in this set of circumstances. You can bring healing and release from the past. And as we forget what is behind, would you help us to strain forwards towards the goal, to win the prize for which you have called us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.